Good morning. It's good to be back together. It's been an interesting time getting set up here. Things are breaking, but I appreciate Dwayne and Doug's patience as we are getting prepared. It's been an interesting week for me, but it's always such a blessing to be here, to be with you, to be with our church family as we worship our God. Over the past 3 weeks, we're in the fourth week now, we have been talking about a series of lessons talking about important days in created history. I don't know if you caught that or not, but we've talked about some important times. Now, we've had, all of us, important days in our lives individually that meant a lot to us, that changed our lives, that helped develop who we are. And that, for us, are important days. But when we look at all of God's creation, there are some days that stand out as important in regard to all people, and especially in regard to the work of God. And so the first week, the first Sunday that we began this, we looked at the most horrific day in created history. We looked at the trial and crucifixion of our Lord and all that He went through in order to give to us the opportunity to be forgiven, to shower His grace upon us. We looked at the most glorious day in all of created history. There have been a lot of glorious days, a lot of great achievements in the work of God, but there was one day that stands out, and that is the resurrection of our Lord. It is through the power of that resurrection that you and I had the opportunity to step out of that watery baptism to know that our souls have been cleansed, that they've been washed by the blood of Jesus. And then last week, we looked at the most anticipated day in all of created history. Now for this one, it hasn't even happened yet. But it is the day we look forward to, that all the work of God is focused on. That is the culmination of all the work of God. And it is the culmination of all of our hope. And that is the day of the return of our Lord. The day of His coming to rescue us from this world, to carry us home with Him. And so it is the most anticipated day in all of created history. And then today, I want to look at the most opportunistic day in all of created history. This week has been a very difficult week for our family. And as been mentioned, my sister passed away, my sister-in-law. She was just 46 years old, and Tuesday, she just expired, and it was a quick thing. It happened so quickly, and you know, my brother is still living in shock of that, he and his children, and they're trying to figure out what the next step is, how their lives are going to change, because they will. There's this huge hole that wasn't there before. And it got me to thinking about, you know, life, we get comfortable. And we think things are always going to be the way they are. But the reality is, things are constantly changing. We're constantly having to adapt because life is unsettled. And life is temporary. There is a finite number of days that God's given to each one of us. And I know we don't always live like that. We live like tomorrow is a definite thing. And I'm here to tell you, it isn't. We've been given now. We've been given today. But that's it. In the passage that was read for us, and I appreciate Dwayne reading that, from Ephesians chapter 5, I want to notice again what Paul says to the Ephesian brethren in this discussion of making the most of a day. Notice again, beginning at verse 13, Paul writes, "But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light." And so he's in this discussion of darkness and light. Of course, the light is a reference to God and His truth, and the darkness is representative of sin and evil. And then he says, "Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully or circumspectly how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." Now notice verse 16. "Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil," or "the days are against us," or "short." Making the best use of your time. Now, there's a lot of ways we could define what that means. Number one, we ask the question, are we really using the days we have to the best use? Do we find ourselves ever wasting days, wasting time? Sure, we all do it. What does it mean to make the best use of your time? You've been given opportunity, and so have I. Each day is an opportunity given by God. It's a moment when we have an opportunity to do good, to produce something in our lives for good. Today I want to take just a few minutes and I want to look at what makes the most of time. What is it that we need to understand? Why is today the most opportunistic day? Number one, I want us to realize that today is a gift. Sometimes we don't appreciate our lives and the time we're given. You know, Paul told Timothy that God, in a discussion of why hasn't he come back, why hasn't he sent Jesus back, it's because God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? Peter says something very similar. In Genesis chapter 2, in that beautiful passage about the formation of the Garden of Eden and the formation of man and woman, in verse number 7, the text tells us that God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. Now, none of the other created things is ever explained in that way. That kind of familiar language is not used for any other created being. Only man. Does it talk about God breathing into him, into his nostrils, the breath of life? It's a special gift that's been given to us. As David will talk about in the Psalms, how God formed his inward parts. How God was a part of that. God breathed into Adam the breath of life and he became a living creature. We've been given the breath of life. We've been given an opportunity to do good, and it is a gift from God. In John chapter 9, Jesus makes this statement in verse number 4 about time, about life. He says, "We must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." There's a reality that as people we need to face, and that is the reality of death. Now, I'm not trying to be dark and, you know, bring the mood down, but there's a reality that each of us face, and that is our lives will one day end. Either it will be at the end of this life, or it will be when Jesus returns in the clouds. But this body is a temporary thing, and there's going to be a part when the body that has been filled with light, the light will leave the body and the body will become clay again. And it'll be an empty shell. And at that moment, you and I, our time of opportunity will be over. There won't be an opportunity after our death, after the ending of this life, for us to do good in this world. That time will be over. And so Jesus says we need to work while it is light. While there is time, when there is breath in our bodies, we need to spend it making the best use of it. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul speaks about working and making the best use of our time. In Galatians 6, beginning at verse 9, he says, "Let us not," what? "Grow weary of doing good." You ever get weary of doing good things? You ever sometimes just want to put your hands up in the air and quit? I bet all of us have experienced that at some time or another. We've gotten tired of the rascals at church or in the church. We've got tired of the rascals in our family. We've got tired of continuing to do the things for them, for our children, and we just want to just stop. Paul says, don't go weary, if I can talk, of doing good. Don't put your hands up and quit. You don't know if you're going to have the next day to repent of that and come back. You don't know if you're going to have the next moment. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let us do good. Let us produce something in our lives. The psalmist in Psalm 118, verse 24, says it this way: "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." This day, today, is a creation of God. When we think about how we use our days and use our time, do we consider that this is a gift from God? That it's been given by God? And He expects us to use it to the best of our abilities. Number two, today only comes once. And I know I've kind of hinted at this already, but today only comes once. You only have these opportunities one time. Think about the opportunities that you've had to meet people in your life, relationships that maybe were only for a short time. You ever think that you'll never have an opportunity to influence those individuals ever again? There are people who are going to come into your life and they're going to go out of your life. You ever think back and say, well, how did I use that? Because that's a gift from God. Your interaction with that individual was an opportunity for you to show the light of Jesus. Did you show the light of Jesus, or did you show the darkness of Satan? Or did you just waste it? James chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, James writes about the making the best use of our time. James 4, verse 13. He says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist or a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.' As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." So, he's going to bring it to conclusion. Thinking about all he's just said, life is short, life is temporary. So, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. In other words, it is a waste. It is a misuse. Tomorrow simply is not guaranteed. And what's the reality? Yesterday's gone, and I'll never get it back. Tomorrow, I'll never get to tomorrow. It'll never be tomorrow. All I have is today. And I'm not guaranteed any more today's. Proverbs 27 and verse 1, the Proverbs writer tells us, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. And I've been taught that lesson this week very clearly. We do not know what tomorrow will bring us. And so Paul says in Ephesians 5:15, 17 again, we need to make the best use of our time. He says we need to walk circumspectly, or to walk carefully, understanding, being wise and not unwise. Understand that today only comes once. How many of us have regrets? How many of us live with regrets for things unsaid or undone, or things done or said that shouldn't have been? All of us, right? How many of us right now have relationships that have trouble in them? Relationships that are on the verge of breaking. Relationships that need lots and lots of mending, or maybe just a little bit of mending. And how many of us say, well, I need to make that right. I need to maybe do some repenting, or maybe I need to just try to do some mending. And we continue to put it off. We continue to push it further down the road. When the road no longer stands in front of us, we can't fix it. If there are things that are within us to fix and mend those relationships, we ought to get about doing it. We need to get to mending those fences. If there are people in our lives who are not members of the Lord's church, and we know it, yet we've never spoken a word of truth to them, we better start thinking about saying those words, about teaching the gospel, because tomorrow may never come and another opportunity may never be there. Are there things in your life? Is there sin in your life? And you say, well, I will correct that. I need to make that right. And yet you continue to push it off. How much longer do you have to make those things right? Maybe you're not a child of God. How long will you continue to push that off? How much longer will you continue to deny what you know you need to do? Do you know that tomorrow you'll wake up? Do you know tomorrow you'll have another opportunity? Do you know another Sunday will come? Another invitation offered? You don't. And so, I want to end with just a couple verses. In Acts 24, Paul, imprisoned, is brought before Felix, the governor. Felix is there with his wife, Drusilla, and Paul is brought before them, and Paul preaches the gospel. Verse 25 of Acts 24 says, Paul reasoned about righteousness and self-control in the coming judgment. And it must have been a pretty convincing sermon or class because the text tells us Felix was alarmed. He was cut to the heart, Acts chapter 2, verse 37. He had that feeling of guilt. Notice his response. He was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you." When I get a more opportune time for me, I will listen. As far as I know, Felix never got a more opportune time than that one moment he had. A chapter later, a similar event will happen, maybe two chapters later, when King Agrippa also gets to hear the gospel. And he goes so far as to say, "You almost persuade me to be a Christian." And yet it wasn't the most opportune time for him. Opportunities to obey may only come one time in our life. If you've had more than one, count your blessings. Because not everybody gets more than one opportunity. What will we do with the time we have? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'll leave you with these two verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Paul, writing to the Corinthian brethren, says, "Working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain." There are some people who hear about the grace of God in vain. What does that mean? It means they hear about how Jesus died for them. They hear about how he came here to bring about salvation to them, and they hear it in vain. They don't take opportunity of it. They don't obey, and they continue to push it off. Felix did not take opportunity of the grace of Christ. He took it, he heard it in vain. Verse number 2, "For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you." Now notice the end of this. "Behold, now is the favorable time." Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make things right. Today is the day to do good. Today is your opportunity. You are not promised tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow may bring. You better make it right now. When we get to the judgment seat and we stand before God, none of us are going to be able to argue before Him that I didn't have an opportunity. None of us are going to be able to complain about our lack of an opportunity, because you know what? You have today and you have now. Are there things in your life you need to make right? You have an opportunity. Will you make it right now? One of the great blessings that in a very terrible situation is knowing that my sister was baptized into Jesus Christ. Knowing that she has that promise. Not everybody has that. That would have made this week, had she not obeyed the gospel, had not God given us an opportunity to teach and to work together, I would have had a really hard time. My brother would be having an even worse time. But you know what? He has the promise, the same promise David had when he lost that little baby, and he said, "I'm going to meet him." My brother can know and understand that one day, if he lives faithfully, he will see her again. It would be a sad thing to not live with that hope. We have today. What will we do with our today? If you would, let us bow in a word of prayer. Our Almighty God and Father above, we thank you so much for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you, Father, for giving us today, for giving us the opportunity to make things right, to mend relationships, to mend our own souls. Thank you, Father, for the grace that comes through Jesus, through the gospel, through our obedience to the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. Father, help us to make the best use of our opportunity to be fruitful in your kingdom, to show others in our life the light living within us. Father, we're looking forward to that home. We are pilgrims on a journey, and we're looking forward to the promised land. We're looking forward to that time when we can be reunited with those we love, and even more so to be reunited with you and your Son and with your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you so much for his example. We thank you that he took the best use of his time, that he took the opportunities to serve even when it was very, very difficult. May we all learn from his example. Father, it's in his name we offer this prayer. Amen.